Greetings, everyone, and greetings to you on the webcast. I don't have any grandkids to brag about, so. But I hope you've been enjoying the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth this week. So here's a question. How many of each type of animal did Moses take on the ark? Anyone? Who said none? Your wife? Michelle. I didn't think I would catch anyone with that. Well, anyway, we know it was Noah that built the ark, not Moses. So, and you know, I mean, some people might try to point out, well, Moses did build an ark, the Ark of the Covenant, but the problem is that that only works in English. In biblical Hebrew, the Ark of the Covenant is the word Aron, and the word for Noah's Ark is Teva. But they both mean box, so it's close. Well, the word Teva is only used in two stories in the Bible, Noah's Ark and Moses' Ark. And yes, Moses had an ark. So, do you remember the story of baby Moses in Exodus 2? Exodus 2, verse 1. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. And then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. His sister, that would be Miriam, stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. Well, that wicker basket was a teva, that is, an ark. One lesser-known Bible study principle is to look for words or names or places that only occur a small number of times, like twice, or in this case, in two stories. And the idea is that the two passages are somehow related, and each story helps to explain the other. And as this example shows, you wouldn't guess that Noah's Ark and the wicker basket were both Teva, nor Noah's Ark and the Ark of Covenant weren't the same word, unless you looked at the Hebrew. And no, I didn't invent this. I read it somewhere. So what can we learn by comparing and contrasting these two uses of the word Teva? How are Noah and Moses alike? How are they different? And what themes connect the two? So let's start with some similarities. Both arks saved their occupants from a watery death. Both were covered with some kind of waterproofing, pitch in English. They were both boxes, that's what the word means. Both carried saviors. Neither ark had propulsion or steering. Mankind was given 120 years to repent before Noah's ark. Moses lived 120 years after his ark. Let's look at some differences. Noah saved all who had the breath of life, man and animals. Moses saved Israel and eventually all mankind. Noah's ark was a huge rectangular box with a roof. It had levels and rooms. Moses' ark was a small basket that fit one baby. Noah's ark was made of wood, probably cypress. Moses' ark was made of papyrus. While both arks were covered with pitch, the words used are different. Noah's ark was covered inside and out with kofar in the Hebrew, which also means cover or ransom. The same word is in Yom Kippur, kofar Kippur. Moses' ark was covered outside with kimar, which the King James calls slime. But it's also translated as tar, asphalt, resin, bitumen. The only other place that kimar is used is the story of the Tower of Babel. And it's another double. And what's the connection between Moses' ark and the tower? I haven't worked that one out yet, so if you have some thoughts on that, let's talk. Let's see, more differences. Noah and his family were in the ark for over a year. Moses, less than a day. Noah and probably his sons built his ark. Moses' mother, Jochebed, built his ark. Miriam followed it, the Egyptian princess, and her maidens drew him out. Four men versus three women. Another difference? Noah was a very old man, 600 years. Jochebed was a young mother, and Moses was 3 months old. Noah's ark floated during a worldwide flood, and Moses' ark just floated down the Nile River. Another difference? Specific dimensions are given for Noah's ark, but not for Moses' ark. We don't even know if it had a cover. And one final difference that I'll mention, and I'm sure there's more similarities and differences of what I'm naming. Noah knew what was coming. Jochebed did not. She gave up her son to God in a very literal way without knowing the outcome. I kind of wonder how she came up with this plan. It did fulfill the literal word of Pharaoh's decree, which was to cast the Hebrew baby boys into the Nile. Well, by now you're probably all saying, well, so what? Well, the similarities and the differences help us to see the characteristics of arks that do and don't matter. The builder, the size, the dimensions, the materials, the length of stay don't seem to matter. A teva could just simply be described as a waterproof box for people. Now, water is obviously important in both stories. Normally, water is associated with life, but in these two stories, water means death. Note that the flood waters were bloody from the men that drowned, and the Nile was bloody from the Israelite boys that Pharaoh ordered drowned. And God's first plague on Pharaoh and Egypt was to turn the Nile to blood. Here's a quote. From the first, the waters of Egypt are the waters of death. The Nile is a river of blood long before Jehovah made this visible in the first plague. End quote. And Pharaoh himself drowned in the Red Sea pursuing Israel. But he's not the same Pharaoh who ordered the boys to be drowned. And speaking of water, Moses' name means drawn out. So named because the princess drew him out of the river. Moses later draws water out of a well for seven sisters in Midian, one of which, Zipporah, became his wife. Later still, Moses draws water out of a rock in the wilderness. And don't forget, he drew Israel out of Egypt by passing them through the Red Sea. Well, the arks picture Jesus Christ. He's the one that saves saves us all from a watery death. Noah and Moses also picture Jesus as well, inasmuch as they're both saviors of mankind, but they also picture all of us. We need saving from the waters of death, just like Noah, just like Moses, just like Israel. We need to be inside Jesus to be protected from the watery death. When Israel left Egypt, they were hemmed in by mountains and the Red Sea, and God opened up a completely new way for them to pass through the Red Sea. Here's the description from Exodus 14, verse 22. The sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Well, there was dry land beneath them, walls to the right and left. To me, that sounds like a box, a teva, if you will. It protected them from a watery death, just like Noah's teva, just like Moses' teva, and all Israel passed through the Red Sea by a teva to the wilderness. Now, the Bible doesn't call the opening in the Red Sea a teva. That's on me. But it served the same purpose. Now, teva has two other meanings. It can mean word. It's not the only word that means word in Hebrew, but it can mean word. And since a teva pictures Jesus and Jesus is the word, it's very fitting. If you're in Jesus, you're safe. If you're outside Jesus, you're not. Quote, the Hebrew word teva not only means ark, but it also means word. Thus, a student of the Torah is prompted to go into the word, the sacred task of discovering hidden meanings enfolded in each teva, each word. And teva can also mean coffin. And here the symbolism is reversed. Coffins normally carry the dead, but in these cases, the coffin, the teva, carries the living. The dead are the ones outside the teva. For an individual believer, the coffin carries us across the waters of death to the kingdom of God. So, people enter a teva, people exit a teva, and they exit to a new life. Noah entered the ark from one world, and he exited to build a new world. Moses entered as a Hebrew baby and exited as an Egyptian prince. Israel entered the Red Sea as slaves, and they exited as free men. At baptism, we enter as slaves to sin, and we exit as slaves to God, which is freedom. As we enter the coffin of death, we exit into a whole new world, the kingdom of God. We all pass through the waters of death to a new life. It's all about deliverance.